Last night I decided to go to a concert. And there was some music played at that concert that was quite interesting. Now, if any of you were there, I'm sorry. What I was kind of taken aback on were, there was one song that was just, it had one word for the whole song. And it was a four-letter word. And that was the only word that they said during the entire song. And it went on for like 3 or 4 minutes. And people were just running into each other, and they're getting up on the crowds and surfing across the top of the crowds. And they were all chanting that word. And then I hear other music that says, just kill, kill, kill them all, and that kind of stuff, kill everybody. And then I hear other words. Well, I won't go into what those other words were, but some of them were quite interesting. And then some of the band's name or the people's name, one of them's last name was Zombie and something else. So it was a pretty interesting concert that I went to. Now, I can't say that I attended it willingly. I was actually working at the concert last night, and it was the second year I've had to work this concert, and my thoughts were the same both years after working it. That's where I've got to go back to today. So it's a cultural awakening, I guess, and you wonder where some of these folks are during the daylight hours because you people just don't see them. But when I'm standing there last night, I'm just thinking about the message that's being put out there. I'm thinking about the words that are being shared. And so I thought it was fitting to share that with the scripture this morning, because the scripture is from Ephesians 4:29. I'll read a little bit on each side of it, but the scripture today is about how no evil talk should come out of your mouth, but only what is useful, helpful, builds people up, makes people feel good, like we shared with the kids this morning. Those type of things that are helpful. And last night, hearing those words, I don't see how they're helpful to anybody. And then some of the conversations that we have with people that you've probably been part of, people have said things that they hurt. I mean, just like we shared with the kids this morning, I mean, most of you have had kids, or you were kids at once, and you remember being hurt by somebody, one of your classmates. One of your classmates said something that made you get upset, cry, whatever the case, and it made you question who you were. Or perhaps a family member has said something to you that made you hurt, and it makes you really think about it. Now, you can say, I'm sorry, but the hurt's still there. I mean, that's what we share with the kids this morning. And so that's kind of the message that we have today. I'm going to share the reading from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 25 and going to verse 29. And this is Paul's message today. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. And then here's the point. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. So as your words may give grace to those who hear. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Don't worry about her. She is good. You want to stand up here with me? You want to come up here? Come right here. There we go. You can stand right here for a minute. All right, so the scripture that Paul shares this morning is about rules for Christian living. It's about how we live in Christ. It's how we maintain healthy relationships. It's how we do the things that make other people feel better. And it's how we model the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. What Paul's doing is he tells us don't fight, don't argue, don't get into those confrontations that don't reflect the love of Christ, but rather say those things that are helpful. Say those things that represent Christ in your life. Avoid gossip, avoid hurtful language, avoid foul language and bitterness and profanity. Focus on forgiving rather than anger and hurt. Focus on offering the presence of Christ to all those that you encounter. So in other words, what he is telling us is to act out in love. Act out in love. Act out in a way that reflects your unity in Jesus Christ. That's the message that we received from Paul. So how many times did your parents say this to you?
No.
Really? You come back in here? How many times did your parents say this to you? You want to say something today? Perhaps if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say it at all. I know I got told that a whole bunch, and I'm sure some of you in here did, and you have probably shared it with your kids or somebody else. And the scripture really is telling us the same thing, that if we don't have something nice to say, then don't say it. There are over 130, 135 places in the Bible that talks about language, that talks about gossip, that talks about godless chatter, and talks about telling the truth and saying only helpful things. And with those things, then I think the message should come out to us is that we should do what's right. Avoid those hurtful words. Speak only what is good. Now, Paul said speak the truth. Now, there was something that I learned in one of my management classes years ago about heart. It's called is managing from the heart. Hear, H-E-A-R-T. H is hear and understand me. Even if you disagree, don't make me wrong. Acknowledge the greatness within me. Remember to look for my good intentions and tell me the truth with compassion. So we can tell people the truth in a compassionate manner. We can tell people the truth in a compassionate manner without being hurtful. I mean, if I come up to Brian and I don't have to just tell him, man, you are wrong and I don't like that or anything else, I can tell him the truth in a way that still makes him feel good. And that's important for us to understand as we avoid these hurtful words. As a parent, you can discipline your child without making them feel bad. We don't, and I think the key here with Ephesians 4:29 is how do we temper that the desire to create a correction versus the desire to break somebody down. Some of you in here were in the military. You know how they did things in the military. They broke you down right up front, and then their words were, we're going to break you down and rebuild you the way that we want you. Well, that's not our job. God has already built us. God has already built us, and we shouldn't be tearing down what God's already built. We should not tear down what God's already built. Each of you in here are individuals of sacred self-worth. You're very valuable just the way that you are. And you don't have to meet any standards. You don't have to meet anybody's expectations. You've got to please God, and that's it. And as such, we should not, now I know it's easier said than done, but we should not worry about what other people think. But, let's think just for a minute. Have you ever been the one that has offered negative words to somebody else, either intentionally or unintentionally? How did you feel after you did that? Because most you know when you do it that it's probably not what you should have done. Or how did it make you feel when somebody said something to you that really tore you up? Or broke you down? How did that make you feel? I mean, you think about those words. Those words are just like a bullet that is fired from a gun. Once it leaves that barrel, you can't do nothing about it. Once you make the mistake because you're too busy doing this while you're driving and you hit somebody else head on and kill them, you can't take that back. The damage is already done. Words are a powerful tool. And they can be hurtful. And then people can immediately follow up by saying, I'm sorry. But you know how that is. I mean, it's hard to accept that apology when somebody has hurt you that bad. And then you think about as couples. I mean, one of the things that I always talk about with every person I do pre-marriage counseling on is you're going to argue. And I don't say that I'm, my wife's smiling at me, so I am not the best at what I'm getting ready to say. But we don't have to win every argument. Not that I would ever try to win an argument, would I, Myra? We don't have to win every argument. That's what I'm supposed to tell people. Understand, I'm a work in progress, so I'm not there yet. We're all works in progress. But you think about it, we try to win arguments. If we get in an argument with our spouse, we get in an argument with our family,
We get in an argument with our boss. We try to win the argument. We feel some need to justify our position and why we're right. Or we like to get that right word, that last word in. I'm sorry, but you started it. Or I'm sorry, but the only reason I said it was because you... So there you go, you put something else out there. So the point is that think about those words that come out of your mouth. How can I cover those words with God's grace and His mercy that He gave us and share those words back out in a way that builds people up rather than tearing them down? Now, have you ever known this person that feels compelled to inform every person they meet about all the negative stuff they know about other people? Or perhaps about a job? Or perhaps about the church? Maybe they go visit a church or they decide to leave the church for whatever reason, and then they go out and tell everybody, well, I didn't like that church because they were, you know, they were snobby or whatever the case was. So they felt the need to tell everybody about it. Well, to me, that falls in that category, godless chatter, that Paul's making reference to, that gossip. Now, have you ever noticed on the gossip part how gossipers like to talk to gossipers? I mean, and then you can have somebody say, well, I can't believe that those people did that. And let's say somebody comes to Jill and says, such and such did this. And Jill says, I can't believe they did that. Well, later this same such and such is talking about Jill. Well, I just can't believe that they would talk about me like that. Well, really? They're already gossiping one time. I mean, and gossipers tend to follow each other. And if you put your hand up and say, I don't have time for that, and that's none of my business, whether it's the truth or not, then they're going to get the point, and they're going to quit coming to you. Now, you might not be in the know anymore. You might not know who's doing what. But you know what? That's information we don't need anyway. We have enough worries ourselves, worrying about our God, worrying about coming to church on Sundays and spending time in the Scripture and living a righteous life and being there for our families, then we need to worry about who has done what. 135 times in the Bible it talks about how words are hurtful or places where gossip and the things that we should avoid. So whenever we think about this, I would ask, does that gossip, does that godless chatter, does hurting other people, does winning arguments, does getting the last word in, does always being right, does that comply with the words that Paul shares with us from Ephesians this morning? And I would dare say that it doesn't. And I would dare say that that's the type of behavior that does not build unity. It doesn't build an environment of love. It sure does not build an environment of trust. You see, as a Christian people, as a body of Christ, we accept new rules. We agree to be different. In Ephesians 4:17, we're told to live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. And that's a nice way to put it. They are hopelessly confused because we got to live different. In verse 22, we're told to throw off our old evil nature and our former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. And then in verse 24, we're told that you must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. You see, simply the evil of our past, the desire to hurt, the desire to tear people down, the desire to break things up or create a mess or just create conflict, those are things that we have to put away. Those are things that we have to cast away. Because as Christians, as a body of Christ united as the church, people look to us for examples of godly living. People look to us for an example of how to live out a life of love. So my question to you is, does this church, does the Methodist church, do we speak the truth and do we do it in a manner that communicates love without hurt? Do we speak the truth and do we do it in a manner that communicates love without hurt? Do we? Are we good in here at building each other up spiritually? When we're faced with anger, how do we deal with it? How do our actions provide a model for other people? Because like it or not, people are watching you as Christians as their role model and they're looking for you to set some kind of example. If you do it because they know you're that church person and you go to church on Sundays, so whenever you lash out at somebody that makes you mad and you do it in a way that, you know what, probably kids didn't need to hear that, well, they're looking for that model. They're saying, well, you know what? He does it. She does it. So why is it not okay if I bend the rules here and there in my life? So like it or not, people watch us. Like it or not, being a Christian comes with a higher expectation about how we should live. Because people are looking and they want to know how Christians these days act. In a world with so much negative influence, it's easy for us to be misguided. And that's what I shared about my experience last night, and I'm sure will be my same experience tonight, is how today's, I can't even say today's young people, because there were, I saw people there that were anywhere from 8 years old to 80 years old last night. So again, and I can't even say people today's young people, but people today are misguided, and they're easy to influence, whether it be at a concert or whether it be on television. I mean, how many have had a challenge finding anything to watch on TV, especially with kids, that didn't have profanity, violence, sex, drugs, and all the other stuff that the producers think is what makes TV what it is? It's a sad day when you can't turn on the Disney Channel and find something that's fit for your kids to watch. Again, coming back, well, how are they communicating a message that builds up? Because, I mean, hey, has anybody watched the Disney Channel lately? I mean, I'm not saying that, I'm not being libelous or slanderous towards the Disney Channel, but whenever they're playing these evil pranks on each other, and then my daughter does the same thing, I'm letting her watch it. Or was. I mean, we're trying to back off on a lot of that because we've watched some of these things and it leaves you scratching your head. So how does that communicate in a way that builds people up? And it doesn't. So it's not just the spoken word, it's communications in general. Communications should build people up rather than break them down. Communications should give people a chance to live in love and to experience the love of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, in our society, in our media, we see things that basically teach unacceptable behavior. And as a church, we must confront this misguided influence and teach the way of living through Jesus Christ. Now we know also that we often become like those around us, and that we often emulate some of the behaviors of those people around us. So Paul is speaking very strongly to the Ephesian people because they've begun to stray, and he kind of sees that model of how of that behavior, of not living the righteous life, of starting to say things that are not helpful, but rather saying things that are hurtful. To think about some of the relationships that you've had in the past. Some of the relationships that you've had in the past and some of the groups that you've hung out with. If you're hanging out with a group of people that smoke, then probably you're going to end up smoking. Or group of people that's drinking, you're going to end up drinking. A group of people that's doing drugs, you're going to end up doing drugs. I mean, I'm not saying it's 100%, but I'm saying that likelihood is there. And if you're around a bunch of people that use profanity all the time, then you're going to find yourself using the profanity too. I mean, it's going to happen at some point. So I think that we've all experienced being in those types of groups, and the challenge is, okay, let's think back about this new life that we have. Well, this new life that we have said, we've got to give up those things in the past. That we've got to give up those ungodly ways that leave people that are hopelessly confused. That we have to live that new life. And so when we do that, if I can't do it in church on a Sunday morning or have that type of conversation in church on a Sunday morning, then is it a conversation that I should probably be having outside of the church? If I couldn't come to any of you with a way that I communicate, then is it a conversation that I should be having anyway? And the point is probably not. Now that's hard. I mean, we're human beings. We know that. That's going to be hard. But our hope is that we acknowledge it, we understand it, and we start doing the right things to model more that love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. I don't think some of the things that I heard last night made Jesus Christ do a happy dance. I don't think that it did, especially when they were talking about killing him and they were talking about God being dead, and then doing all these other things and associated with some words. I mean, I don't think those were things that made him happy. So ask yourself, are there things that we do that because they don't build others up, because they don't communicate in love, how do they make our Savior feel? The one whose blood saved us from an eternal death, the one whose blood saved us from hell, the one whose blood gave us forgiveness of sin. How do our words, how do our thoughts, how do our actions glorify Him while building up those around us so that we can do what? What's our great commandment? I mean, great commission? What are we supposed to do? Make disciples. Love God is our command. Love our neighbor. And that's, they all go together. And then make disciples. And we can't make disciples unless we're building people up. So with these situations, we've experienced them. We know that. We've got to watch carefully about the impact that our words have because of the immeasurable damage. And just to share a couple places to where there's some real strong messages. James chapter 1, verse 26. If you claim to be religious but you don't control your tongue, then you're just fooling yourself. And this is out of New Living Translation. In Proverbs 10:32, the godly speak words that are helpful, but the wicked speak only what is corrupt. In Proverbs 26:20, fire goes out for the lack of fuel. And I like this one. Fire goes out for the lack of fuel, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. I think I need to hang that one up in my office. Proverbs 16:28 says that a troublemaker plants seeds of strife, and gossip separates the best of friends. That's just a few of the many passages about the words. The point is that people can be hurt, but also understand there is power in words if they are used properly. Great power, of course, is observed in the spoken word of God and written word of God. Words can bring healing. Words can bring hope. Words can build a person. Words can build a church. Words can nurture relationships. And being able to speak in a manner of love builds unity, and it causes spiritual growth. When we tell somebody something nice, that you look nice today, or it really meant a lot, you being there for that, or thank you for helping me, thank you for being present, telling somebody about God's love, offering grace to somebody else, understanding that they're not perfect, forgiving people when they need to be forgiven, praying together, those are all things that are helpful. So brothers and sisters, today that I would say that our understanding of the Scripture as we have it would be that we live in a new life. We live in a new life once we accept Jesus Christ. So today, let us make every effort to fill the world around us with a joy, a hope, and let us displace that negative impact around us. Let us displace those things which tear people up and hurts people's hearts. Let us go forward from here focusing on how we can nurture each other. Let us build each other up for the day to come when the body of Christ will again be reunited with all the saints in heaven. Let us find our strength as the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 367, He Touched Me. If you have some burden or some worry that you would like to leave at the altar, then you are encouraged to come forward and do that today. Or perhaps some place you need to ask for forgiveness in your own life. This altar and the sight of God is the place to do it.